to you. Well, let's get into business. First off, if you are listening live, that means that you have dialed 212-461-5800 and punched in the code 8246. Welcome, and thank you for joining us. You can listen on the replay line and refer your friends by dialing 212-990-6260. That's 212-990-6260. Today we do have a featured product, Tropic Oil, which is one of my favorites. We'll get into that a little bit later on, so you want to make sure that you stick around for that. And you can get it on special today. Buy one, get the second one at half price. Call 1-800-362-8482. That's 1-800-362-8482. If you have a question or comment that you would like to share with us today, you can email me at sbrewer@phporder.com. That's sbrewer@phporder.com.
Now, for those of you who are joining us for the first time on the show, we prepare what we call a mailbag. And in the mailbag, Shadonna will pull different pieces of information, letters that have come to us from you, questions that have been posed to us. Shadonna also picks certain issues out of the headlines and proposes those to us because we believe that sometimes you don't get all of the information that you need to get. In fact, you get only the percentage or the portion of the information that the media people sort of want you to get. So we are here to tell you the other side of the story, as someone else once said. And so, Shadonna, how is that mailbag looking? Do you have a few questions in there for us today?
Yeah, it's looking pretty thick. So,
is it as big as Santa's bag of presents?
Now, do we really know how big Santa's bag of presents are?
Well, okay, I can't reveal anything. So, no, I guess we don't.
Okay. All right, the first question that I have here, what type of thermometer should I use? I heard they don't always work, and I have two small children, do you know? Also, what is a normal temperature?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, all thermometers are not the same. The very best are the glass mercury thermometers that are used either in the mouth or, you know, in that other place. And those are the most accurate, and it's really important that you have an accurate reading. Now, digital oral and rectal thermometers are both pretty accurate as well, but they're not as accurate as the traditional mercury, but they're accurate enough, I think, to forego the danger of having the mercury thermometer around. Ear thermometers, the ones that are really popular, I don't trust them. They're really not that accurate. They don't have consistent readings. And those plastic strips that you press against the forehead, I don't like those at all. So I would stick with the digital or the glass mercury. And of course, oral or rectal are the best ways to get the most accurate reading. But a little more information about the temperature was asked for. A normal temperature is 98.6, at least that's what they tell us. But if you look at medical history, if you run a consistent temperature of 98, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. There's also a history of people running an average temperature of 99, and that isn't, you know, wrong either. So it doesn't necessarily mean that there's anything wrong. In fact, it is considered normal. What you might find is that your temperature rises during the day. In the morning, it might be closer to 98, and at night, it might be over 99. And if you check this out, I think you'll find that it is very, very common. Another thing that is sort of interesting is that as you age, your normal temperature declines. When you're over 65, you might have an average normal temperature of 97.5. The problem with that is when older people get a fever, they sometimes don't know it because they're measuring, say, 99, and they think, oh, that's probably normal. But in reality, it is elevated. So I suggest that everybody take their temperature morning and in the evening for the course of 1 week while you're feeling healthy and establish what your, quote, normal temperature is. Also, temperatures are caused by infections, for example, pneumonia or a bladder infection. However, elevated body temperatures are also associated with viral illnesses like the flu or other gastrointestinal disorders, even the common cold. So usually what you want to look at is your regular temperature, and it doesn't hurt to check it fairly often, but I wouldn't make it, I wouldn't be very very concerned about a temperature as far as needing to bring it down. I think that if you let a fever run its course, that it is the best bet. Shadon and I talk about that all the time. Wrap yourself in blankets, go to sleep, and let that fever break. But when you do that, be sure you drink a lot of liquids prior to laying down, because you want to be able to rehydrate your body quickly after, because when you have a fever, you tend to sweat a little more than you realize.
Right. You bring up a good point. I don't think many people, walk around thinking, oh, I have to check my temperature today, but you never really know what it is unless you run that test. So that is a good point. And yes, last week even we talked about temperatures. Usually when people get temperatures or their children, they want to hurry up and bring that down, but actually that's just the body's normal reaction to what's going on, and it will, like you said, reach its point and then begin to break. So
exactly. Shadon makes an excellent point. The fever is the body's way of raising the temperature high enough to kill an invading body, like a bacteria, virus, or protozoa, but not high enough to hurt your body. And so the fever is really a sign of the body's intelligence. That's a very good point, Shadonna.
Okay. Well, that was a very good question. Thank you very much for that. The next question that I have here, you were talking about side effects in interactions last week. I am on Lipitor, and I also take several supplements, including vitamin E, vitamin C, and psyllium. Are these okay?
Ooh, well, you've raised a couple of red flags. If you're taking statin drugs, which is what you described to me, you should never take more than 100 milligrams of vitamin C or a vitamin E supplement. And the reason why is because they stop the statin drugs from their anti-inflammatory effect. I think that if you look at RC from nature, this is a 100% pure whole food vitamin C. And a full serving is 75 milligrams of vitamin C. And because it is naturally occurring, that is as potent as 1,200 milligrams of synthetic vitamin C without the damaging side effect. So I suggest that you switch to our natural vitamin C called C from Nature, and also get off of your vitamin E supplement, because both of those are interfering with your statin drug. And if you want an alternative to a vitamin E supplement, look at our rice bran solubles. They contain tocotrienols and trienols, which will not interfere with the anti-inflammatory effect of statin drugs, and yet they are the most powerful vitamin E equivalents to help protect your heart. So I would say that there really is a correlation of contraindication. So I'm glad you are listening to the show, and I'm glad you asked that question, because you are making two very common mistakes, and I hope that you'll act to correct those so you don't put yourself at risk. Shadonna, I would feel like irresponsible if I didn't warn him, though, about the dangers of statin drugs and the alternatives to statin drugs. So if you really are worried about blood clots, if you're worried about inflammation, then I think what you need to be doing is taking a lot of green food and a lot of cherry juice. And if you look at our green Kamut blend, and if you look at our tart cherry concentrate, these are two highly anti-inflammatory and anti-and blood regulating and purifying products. So it may be that you should talk to your doctor and tell him that you'd like to use natural foods instead of statin drugs, and have him monitor you. And I think that he'll find that your homocysteine levels, your inflammation, all of these things are going to be reduced, and you may not need the drugs at all once your diet is corrected. So just a recommendation. I'm not telling you to quit your drug. I'm just saying you need to consider maybe tapering yourself off of that drug and taking responsibility in your diet to accomplish the same goals within your body that the drug was doing, because the food will not have side effects and the drug absolutely will.
Absolutely. Okay, I want to remind everyone that we do have a featured product, Tropic Oil. We will get to that in just a little while, so make sure that you stick around for that. You can also purchase it. Buy one, get the second one at half price. Call 1-800-362-8482. That's toll-free, 1-800-362-8482. That will get you directly to the operators. You can ask them for the special. You can ask them for information. That is free. Also free CDs. They have battle plans available for you. And you can also ask them for one of our sponsors' promotions that are going on right now. Platinum Health Products have gift packs that are running until, I believe, the last day of the year. So you want to make sure that you take advantage of that while it still lasts. That number, once again, is 1-800-362-8482.
I think those gift packs were a really great idea. I've had a lot of people call me and tell me that they're giving away the gift packs, that they're stuffing stockings with the gift packs, that they're literally, some people have been sending them overseas. It is just really, really
definitely.
Cool.
Especially with the digestion pack around the holidays, that's like genius.
Exactly. I don't know who came up with that idea, but it was a good one.
Absolutely. Okay, let's get back into the mailbag. My next question here, I am worried I do not get enough fiber. Colon cancer runs in our family. What is the right amount?
Wow. You know, Shadonna, this must be like misinformation day because, you know, fiber has been actually never proven to prevent colon cancer.
Okay.
In fact, most studies show that dietary fiber doesn't do anything at all to change colon cancer.
Right.
What is important is that when you eat fruits and vegetables that contain fiber, they also have phytochemicals and antioxidants that stop the toxins that lead to the cancer. And so there's other reasons to get plenty of fiber. I mean, it prevents constipation, it improves digestion, helps lower cholesterol. It might even help stabilize blood glucose to have a nice amount of fiber in your diet, but it will not prevent colon cancer. In fact, Shadonna, with a little shameless self-promotion, I want to refer to a passage in my book, The Green Food Bible, where I talk about what the true cause of colon cancer is and the true way to prevent it. Now, one of the major causes of colon cancer is a toxic substance that is created by the body when we consume red meat. You see, the blood in red meat that makes red meat red is something that our bodies have a difficult time digesting. And when we partially digest this, it becomes a toxic substance. And that toxic substance has a particularly damaging effect on the cells that line the large intestine and the colon. And as a consequence, when those toxins hit the large intestine and the colon, they trigger chemical reactions which ultimately lead to cancer. The reason this is important is because in the book we have documented a study that shows something really amazing. When you consume green foods like wheatgrass, barley grass, green vegetables, and things like that, when you consume green foods, they contain a compound that actually converts that toxic substance into urine. And so instead of having those toxic substances go into the colon and through that eliminative tract, they actually choose a different eliminative tract, and that is the urinary tract. And in the urinary tract, these substances are not toxic. These substances could take and make contact with the cells on the lining of the urinary tract and never cause cancer. So it is only the cells on the lining of the colon and of the large intestine that are damaged by these toxins. And so the main thing you want to do if you worry about colon cancer is not to take more fiber, although fiber is a good thing, and we have a phenomenal fiber product called Daily Fiber Blend that we recommend. However, Daily Fiber Blend has a lot of soluble fibers and a lot of enzymes and a lot of herbs that help to detoxify while the fiber is working. However, green food, like our Green Kamut Blend, taken on a daily basis, two times a day, is far more important for preventing colon cancer than increasing your fiber intake. I hope that that wasn't too long of an answer to a short question, but I wanted to make sure the information was thoroughly understood, because this is one of those myths about nutrition, that fiber prevents colon cancer, and it just seems to be taking a while for people to sort of get the word out that that is, in fact, just a myth.
Right, exactly. Okay, let's see. I want to give out the email address. If you have any questions or comments, please send an email to sbrewer@phporder.com. That's sbrewer@phporder.com. We're going to talk about tropic oil in just a few moments, but before we do that, I have another question here out of the mailbag. How much exercise should I do? I want to be as healthy as I can be, and I am willing to do whatever it takes, but I find myself having trouble finding time to exercise.
Is that one from you?
No, it's not for me.
I'm just teasing. Well, the thing about exercise, I think, that's important to note is that exercise isn't always, good for you.
Right.
And don't go, what are you, crazy, Dave? The truth is that the more you exercise, then the more your health will improve, but only up to a point. You see, exercise is stress. And the body can only handle so much stress, and exercise accelerates your metabolic function, and your body only wants your metabolic function, pressed that hard when it is absolutely necessary. People who exercise really, really hard for more than an hour a day have no longer lives or healthier bodies than people who exercise moderately. By moderately, I'm talking 45 minutes four times a week. A nice long walk, a nice run, some cardiovascular work mixed with weight-bearing exercise is what Shadana and I recommend. Now, if you get 1 hour a day of moderate exercise, or 4 to 5 hours a day, a week of moderate exercise, like walking, swimming, biking, that actually makes you younger. It has been clinically proven that 45 minutes of exercise a day actually reverses aging at the cellular level and invigorates the brain, and you will feel and behave younger. This has been clinically proven. Now, of course, by running, you also lose weight, you improve your cardiovascular condition, you strengthen your bones, you reduce your risk for diabetes. So exercise is very good. But again, 45 minutes, four, maybe five times a week is really, really plenty of exercise, and that's what I recommend for everybody listening now.
And, I mean, this may sound cliche, but, okay, you can exercise, but you still have to eat healthy. You still have to get the proper amount of sleep at night. You still have to surround yourself with things and make yourself happy. You know, this is all a part of living as healthy as you can. It's not just exercise. And that's just like people who call and say, oh, I'm looking for a pill that's going to make me lose weight, but they're still eating ice cream and cookies. And
sitting on their couch.
exactly. You know, it has to be it's a lifestyle change. We always talk about it being lifestyle.
Imagine this, Shadana. What if you're out there running? I mean, because you know that you've seen this. You got these guys, they're out there running 5, 6, 10 miles a day, and what are they doing? They're getting a Starbucks, and then they're going over and getting a hamburger for lunch.
Exactly.
And you wonder, if your car is running really fast, and it's got really dirty oil in it, maybe that's not a good idea. If my oil is really dirty, I'd probably not want to exercise so much. Because it's just going to seems to me as though it would actually accelerate the problem, through the exercise.
Right. And, I mean, you always say this, it's in the Bible, everything, even if it's good for you, sometimes it's better to do in moderation. You can't overtake anything. So.
Exactly. I mean, even if you're religious and you spend your whole time on your knees praying while the world is falling down around you, you know, at some point it's time to get off your knees and start doing something. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So no matter what you think, you know, as good as it might be, sometimes balance and actually, you know, the actions that you're taking in balance are very important. So another excellent point, Shadonna. I think that definitely the people listening will take that advice to heart.
Okay, now it's time to talk products. Today, Tropic Oil we have available for you. Buy one, get the second one at half price. Call 1-800-362-8482. That's 1-800-362-8482. Now, Tropic Oil is our sponsored version of our coconut oil. Dave, what is coconut oil a saturated fat?
You know, that's a really good question because technically, if you read scientific literature, coconut oil is a saturated fat. The problem is within fats, there are short-chain triglycerides, there are long-chain triglycerides, and there are medium-chain triglycerides. Now, a short-chain triglyceride might be like corn oil or some vegetable oil, and a long-chain triglyceride is an animal fat, like lard or bacon grease or something like that. The thing is that somewhere in the middle is coconut oil. It is not a single fat, a single molecule, and it is not three molecules. It is two molecules. So in order to illustrate this, imagine a triangle, and imagine every tip of the triangle is a potential receptor site for fat. And if all three points on the triangle are basically occupied by a fat molecule or a fat deposit, then that is considered a saturated fat. And again, if one of the tips it has a fat molecule, that's considered like a vegetable oil or a monounsaturated fat. And this monounsaturated fat is highly volatile. So vegetable oils are highly volatile. They rancify quickly, become, you know, toxic very quickly. And as a consequence, scientists developed a way to add hydrogen molecules to those two other points. So imagine in your mind you've got this triangle. One point has fat on it. The other two points are empty, and so it's very easy for oxygen to attach to them and rancify the oil and make it turn bad and be bad for you. So what they do, scientists decided, is they would put hydrogen there so that oxygen could not go there, and that became a hydrogenated oil, which we now know is a toxic, cancer-causing trans fat. But they didn't know that then when they recommended that we replace things like coconut oil with that. So, again, a long answer, but the reason it's important that the medium-chain triglyceride, if you look at your triangle again and two of those points are occupied with fat, that is a very, very difficult fat to rancify. It does not go bad. And it is not a truly saturated fat because it does not have all three of the points that have, you know, fat on them. The bottom line is medium-chain triglycerides are very easy to digest. They are not truly a saturated fat, and they should not be categorized with those saturated fats because it will never lead to cholesterol. It will not lead to blood platelet stickiness. And that's what saturated fats do. If coconut oil doesn't do either of those, then how could they say that it is a saturated fat?
Well, okay, so you answered part of my next question. Could it lead to high cholesterol? So,
well, it definitely can lead to high cholesterol if you overdo it. If you take 3 to 4 tablespoons of coconut oil a day, your body will take excess fat and oftentimes convert it to cholesterol. So, yes, taking too much coconut oil is just like taking too much of any fat. But when you take the right amount, 1 to 2 tablespoons a day, it will actually do a lot of good things for you and nothing bad for you.
Now, I understand that it can help a hypothyroid.
Yeah, definitely it could help hypothyroid. You know, Shadonna, that there's a compound called caprylic acid that's found in raw virgin coconut oil, like the one that we sell. It's not in typical coconut oil because typical coconut oil is heated, but the raw virgin coconut oil has a high amount of a phytochemical called caprylic acid, and caprylic acid is part of what we call the thyroid-regulating diet. a tablespoon of raw virgin coconut oil a day, maybe one in the morning and one at night, a couple of green drinks like the Best of Greens that has a high amount of sea kelp and sea dulse in it for iodine, an increase in vegetable and fruit intake, and a reduction of red meat combined with daily exercise of 35 to 45 minutes a day, and that hypothyroidism is going to change. It's going to change fast. It's going to change for real, and it is a very, very good part, the coconut oil, very important part of that hypothyroid-reversing diet, which, again, is nothing more than an increase in fruits and vegetables, a reduction in the amount of red meat, an increase in sea kelp and sea dulse and other sea vegetables, which you could accomplish by taking Best of Greens, and an increase of the caprylic acid found in coconut oil and palm oil. And, of course, we recommend the coconut oil.
Okay. So can it help a person boost their immune system?
You know, that's a really good question, Shadonna, because coconut oil is really, really amazing. I want to tell you a story that probably, well, you probably heard it, but I doubt our listening audience has heard this story, about the scientist in India who was trying to create, now for 25 years, his scientific lab was trying to create a substance that would be equal to mother's milk. And they were looking for the fatty structure of mother's milk. There are certain fats in mother's milk that are amazing, and they are called lauric acid, or monolaurin is one of them. And lauric acid, monolaurin, as well as palmitic acid and caprylic acid, these actually are the precursors of the immune system that are passed from the mother through her breast milk to her baby. So when a mother breastfeeds her baby, she is triggering the immune response for the baby's entire life, feeding information to the DNA, that will control that baby's immune response for the rest of its days. And the way, one of the key elements that it uses to do that is through the introduction of monolaurin or lauric acid. What's amazing to note is that this colostrum-type effect of mother's milk is only out of thousands of chemical compounds and thousands of plant substances studied. This scientist who is seeking out a substitute for mother's milk could not find anything close to it with the exception of raw, virgin, organic coconut oil, which contained the monolaurin, the caprylic acid, and the palmitic acid, which are in mother's milk, which are not found and cannot be replicated through a scientific manipulation or a compound. They could only be replicated in nature by God through coconut oil, and that, to me, is absolute proof that coconut oil is an immune-boosting substance because it contains the same thing as the immune regulators that come from mother's milk.
So then do you suggest that we feed coconut oil to our infants?
I definitely recommend that the coconut oil can be taken by the mother. It will boost the monolaurin in her breast milk. I recommend that coconut oil be put on a little spoon and fed directly into the mouth of the infant. I recommend that you take the coconut oil and you rub it on the baby's body to help for the transdermal absorption. And by the way, people with a thyroid problem, try rubbing coconut oil all around your throat. In case y'all don't know, your thyroid is located right near your esophagus. A lot of people don't know that. I'm sure Shadonna did, but most people don't. And so if you rub the coconut oil vigorously all on your throat, there will be a transdermal absorption there, and that will also help the thyroid.
Okay. So I know that there's a lot of compounds that the coconut oil has. Can it help with parasites and fungus?
Definitely, definitely. Again, I want to emphasize, and I know you'll probably get to this in a minute, that all coconut oil is not created equal. That you need to make sure to choose the right type of coconut oil. And again, I'm sure that you'll address that in a minute. But the way that coconut oil helps is because it has these fatty acid compounds, and these fatty acid compounds actually interrupt the replication of funguses and viruses. And so when the fungi and the virus cannot replicate, then they literally begin to go away in your body. And so the coconut oil is phenomenal because it stops the replication of viruses and fungus, and over time they literally die out and go away. And so absolutely, I recommend that coconut oil could be rubbed on your toes, rubbed on your nails. Women should use it in a douche occasionally if they worry about yeast overgrowth as well. I think it is a phenomenal, very versatile antifungal food, and it can be used topically and internally.
Okay, so you said before that, and that was good to know also, but you said before that all coconut oil is not created equally. You talk about this in a lot of supplements. So you're saying that if I was to go and buy a coconut and slice it down the center, and I cannot get these, you know, extract the oil, I cannot get these benefits that you're saying?
Actually, you can if you had a young coconut and you took a spoon and you scraped off the softest inner part of the meat portion,
mm-hmm.
the really, really soft just lining of the meat, and you should be able, you could actually use that to you could eat it, you could fry foods in it, but that's really expensive way to get a tablespoon of coconut oil.
Right. So if it's that, if it seems that simple, expensive but that simple just to get those benefits, how is it that the coconut oils that our sponsors have compared to other coconut oils, why can't they do the same thing?
Well, here's what happens. A lot of people have the good intentions. I think, Shadonna, you and I have seen at the shows that we go to all of the companies saying that they have low-temperature processed coconut oil. Remember that?
Right.
And we went over and we looked at the bottle, and this guy's like, this is pure virgin, the very best, directly from the Philippines, and it's cold-temperature processed. And we looked at the bottle, and you could tell that the product had been heated. And this is one of those half-truths that Shadonna and I are always warning you about. A half-truth could be used to deceive you, and my grandfather said that a half-truth is another name for a whole lie. And here's what I'm talking about in case you're confused. If a person buys coconut oil, meaning if a company that wants to sell you coconut oil, well, they don't own coconut trees, and they don't own a factory to get the coconut oil out of the coconuts. They buy it from someone else, just like I do. And almost all of us are using the same supplier because there's one huge supplier of pure virgin coconut oil, the finest in the world, that comes from the Philippines. And so far I've seen that almost all of us companies are using that same source. And it's one of the finest in the world. So you would imagine that all of our products are the same,
right.
But they're not.
Okay, and why is that?
The reason is because when we get the coconut oil, it's in 55-gallon drums. And those 55-gallon drums are solid because the coconut oil is cool and it's in there almost like a stick of butter. And what most companies do, and they need to get it out of that barrel and into the bottles they sell it to you. And the only way they know how to do that is to raise the temperature, pour it into a big vat. The temperature in the vat is hot as well. And then that vat takes it through pipes. Those pipes go to little squirters, nozzles.
Right.
Those nozzles squirt it into the bottles to fill them, and then the nozzle closes. And then another bottle comes up, and the nozzle opens up and squirts it in. Well, because coconut oil hardens at 76 degrees, and it starts to get really thick, you know, at about 78 or 80 degrees as it begins to cool, these companies have to heat the coconut oil much higher, over 100 degrees, in order to keep it melted and flowing through their filling operation.
Right.
So the half-truth is, Shadonna, that it was cold processed in the Philippines, but it was heat-filled in the United States.
Gotcha. Okay. And you can actually see the difference. And when Dave and I have compared them, they're like our sponsors compared to another company's, both in glass jars. We can look straight in. And the other company, it looks like it's oil that has been heated and then it got solid, and it's not as pure white. It's a yellowish color. It's not marbleized, and
it's not marbled. Remember, Shadonna,
yes.
How it sat in the bottle, almost like margarine does in a tub.
Exactly, Exactly.
And ours is marbled beautifully because we fill every bottle by hand. We do it at less than 80 degrees. It immediately gets hard again once it's in the bottle, and the marbling shows that we barely raised the temperature just enough to get it into the bottle, not high enough to hurt anything. And so, Shadonna, that is a very good point to make, again, on the education side, because people really need to know how to tell the difference in quality.
Right. And, again, that's why it's one of my favorite products, and it tastes really, really good. You can use it for a lot of things. So Tropic Oil, there it is. If you're interested, if you want to place an order, or if you would like more information, call 1-800-362-8482. That's toll-free, 1-800-362-8482.
Okay, Shadonna, I'm going to give you a quiz. Give me five diverse ways to use coconut oil in your home.
Okay. You can put coconut oil on squeaky hinges.
Oh, you're so cute.
No, but seriously, you can use it topically. As you mentioned earlier, it can be a moisturizer on the hands, make the hands soft. It could be put on your fingernails to help reduce fungus. It could be rubbed on the throat to help your thyroid. You can cook with it, of course.
Okay, so topical thing is as a massage oil. So we've got topically is one.
You said I have another one for you. You also recommend it to put in the hair.
Oh, that's right. It's phenomenal for the scalp, for dry scalp. So topically, I'm going to put that all under one. Two, you said for cooking, and I love to do stir fries and even fried chicken, potatoes, and eggs.
Right, and baking. You can't forget baking.
Three is baking. Now, in baking, you know what's awesome is you use 10% less than you would any other oil.
Right.
So you're reducing the calories right off the bat.
Exactly. And it adds a very, very good taste to your pastries. Of course, you can eat it raw.
Okay, that's number four.
And I don't know, you do
the fifth one's tough, Shadonna. We gave people, well, first of all, we showed them recipes to make candies and desserts, which they could call in to get, and that's my favorite application, maybe. But the last thing, Shadonna, remember that we showed people how to use it with some lemon oil and to create a wax for furniture.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So those are five awesome uses, and that doesn't even count my favorite, which is soaking in a hot bath with coconut oil.
That could be considered topically.
That's true. So that's five, and I want to thank you for helping us with that quiz.
Okay. So once again, Tropic Oil, buy one, get the second one at half price, 1-800-362-8482. Want to get back into this mailbag now. We still have a few questions left, and we have about 20 minutes left in this hour. So, Dave.
Yes.
I have an ulcer, and my doctor told me that ulcers can be contagious. Now, how can I protect my wife and family and friends from getting it from me?
Wow. The thing is that most people don't realize that ulcers are contagious.
So I had no idea.
Yeah, the thing about ulcers is they're caused, and doesn't it seem like we have these recurring themes, and it seems like we repeat ourselves a lot, but I know that there's always new listeners, so I don't mind. But you know that just about 2 years ago, I think, or maybe a year ago, some doctors from Sweden won a Nobel Prize because of their research that proved that ulcers are caused by a bacteria, that they're not caused by stress, they're not caused by spicy food, they're not caused by worrying too much like so many people thought.
Right.
Ulcers are caused by a bacteria called H. pylori or Helicobacter, or H-E-L-I-C-O-B-A-C-T-E-R, Helicobacter pylori, but H. pylori is fine. H. pylori is a spiral-shaped bacteria that penetrates the stomach lining. And a simple blood test can detect H. pylori in people, but a lot of times H. pylori will cause a pain right above the belly button, and that's how you could know. Well, it is not easy to pass on H. pylori, but here's some of the ways that it can happen. First of all, kissing. Kissing can transmit the bacteria And if an ulcer patient, even if they're taking antibiotics, they could actually reacquire the bacteria and reinfect their ulcer simply from kissing someone else who has that H. pylori in their saliva, and it will be in your saliva if it's in your stomach. Another thing that you need to worry about is toothbrushes. A lot of people are not as aware as I wish they would be about how bad a toothbrush could be as far as germs go. Remember that a toothbrush is moist and it's sitting in your bathroom. Bathrooms typically have airborne bacteria anyway. So I want to recommend that everybody have a toothbrush sanitizing mechanism, either by taking some hydrogen peroxide and once a week soaking your toothbrush in hydrogen peroxide. Do not keep your toothbrush in the shower like a lot of people
do. Oh, wow.
You know what, right, Shadon? Yeah. A lot of people brush their teeth in their shower, but you got to take the toothbrush out and make sure it gets dried. I like taking a paper towel and actually wrapping the head of my toothbrush in the paper towel in order, like, and I keep it in my medicine chest that way. It keeps dry and it keeps airborne bacteria from falling onto it. So again, H. pylori can be passed on. I didn't mean to digress into toothbrush etiquette, but H. pylori can be passed on through kissing and through toothbrushes. And also, I know it's silly, but even something as simple as your wife or your girlfriend feeding you, and as they put the cake or the candy or the carrot or the wheatgrass sprout into your mouth, you might actually touch your mouth to their finger, and bacteria can be passed that way as well. So definitely take care of that. And if you want to know what to do about the H. pylori, we strongly recommend our enzyme, our probiotic, and our aloe vera. These three in combination will wipe that Helicobacter pylori out through the power of oxygen, enzymes, and friendly bacteria.
Wow, that's some really interesting information. Now, is this for people with, quote, active ulcers? Are they passing it, or if they kind of, you know, settle it?
No, you're right. Some people have the ulcer, and it's really not hurting them. It's there, but they eat a pretty healthy diet, so
right.
The Helicobacter pylori is sort of in check, but it's still there, mm-hmm. and they don't even realize it. So definitely, you know, if you've had an ulcer and you feel that it's gone, still be careful.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay. And you said that can be detected through a simple blood test.
Yeah, it is very easy to detect Helicobacter pylori through a simple blood test.
Now, if you have H. pylori, does that mean that you have an ulcer?
Well, here's the thing. H. pylori, a really good question, H. pylori is like a parasite. There are ulcers in your body, and so the H. pylori will be in your body, but it won't have any place to live.
Right.
You know? It can't settle down. It can't have kids. It can't build a house.
the American dream?
Yeah, it's just crossing across the plains of your body with no place to stop. All of a sudden, it finds this little cubbyhole, this little cave, or this little... protected inlet, and that is called an ulcer. That could be in your heart valve and ultimately lead to a heart attack. It could be in your stomach and just cause severe pain. But that H. pylori is going to circle through your body. As long as it doesn't find a home, then it really won't be able to adversely affect you. Unfortunately, we all have some ulcer activity in our body, which means H. pylori usually will find a home within our body.
Okay. Now, I hate to stay on this topic for so long, but does this mean that taking tropical oil can help reduce your chances of spreading H. pylori because it's an antifungal, antiparasite?
You're absolutely right. Because it is viral and parasitic, the coconut oil is an excellent thing to help your stomach in particular. The green food and the enzymes are going to help when it's in your blood, you know, to help with the with the heart valve. But you're absolutely right. Taking that raw coconut oil on an empty stomach, it's a phenomenal, phenomenal thing to do for that ulcer.
Okay, excellent. My next question here. My father had a heart attack at 55 and died. My cholesterol seems okay, though, and my blood pressure is, It's just slightly elevated, but I still worry. Any advice?
Well, the first thing I want to say is I'm truly sorry for your loss. Your father died far, far too early. I believe that we should all live to be no less than 100 years old, 110, which means that your father only reached half of what I believe his life potential was. And so our hearts do go out to you. However, I need to warn you about something that you may not realize, that cholesterol is not an indicator of heart risk, despite what they've told you. In fact, most people who have heart attacks don't even have high cholesterol, Shatana. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, like a very small percentage of people who have heart attacks had high cholesterol. And that's what people don't understand. Heart attacks are typically caused by blood clots, and the blood clots form on top of irritated, inflamed areas, which, guess what, are caused by H. pylori and things like that.
Wow.
So heart attacks are caused by blood clots, by the inflamed plaque, which is a mixture of cholesterol and other substances on the artery walls. And when those clots grow, they lodge in an artery and cause a heart attack. And so lowering your LDL or bad cholesterol, it might create a less favorable environment for blood clots. And so that is definitely important. But here's the problem, that having high cholesterol doesn't lead to heart attacks like so many people think. But what does lead to heart attacks is high blood pressure. That's where I really want you to focus. And in fact, Shadonna, we have told people before that they should monitor their high blood pressure, and I'm not so concerned the systolic pressure. What I'm concerned about is the first number. Your first number, a lot of people think like 140 is okay, and you have to wait till you're over 140. Let's say 140 over 90 might be considered normal. Well, that's not true. I believe that 120 over 80 should be considered, I said that wrong. Most people don't consider you to have high blood pressure until it hits 140 over 90. But I believe that number should be lowered to 120 over 80, because at 120 over 80, we could call that pre-hypertension. It is an indicator that your blood pressure is rising and subject to rise, and you shouldn't wait till it gets to 140 over 90 to do something about it. If you find it gets to 120 over 80, that's when it's time to do something about it. And we have a hypertension battle plan that will give you an exact protocol for what to do to fight hypertension or high blood pressure. So that's what I want you to focus on. You said you have a slightly elevated. That means you're at 140 over 90 probably or worse. That's just not slightly elevated. To me, that is elevated, and you've got to do something about it.
Yeah, we definitely are all about prevention, so it does start now, you know.
Awesome, though, that he's paying such close attention,
right,
to Donna?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We do have the hypertension battle plan available. You can call 1-800-362-8482. That's toll-free, 1-800-362-8482, and the battle plan is free. If you want to request that, I'm sure that it will give you a lot of recommendations, a few exercises even, that you can do to help keep that blood pressure down, and among other things.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, we have about 10 minutes left. I want to go ahead and move on to this next question, if I may.
Oh, wow, that mailbag is stuffed today. Right,
yeah. How do you know if your kidneys are functioning properly? I am concerned. Should I go to the doctor? I am smelling a foul odor in my urine.
Wow. You know what's weird, Shadonna, is a lot of times when people start taking multivitamins, they smell like, you know, they could smell it in their urine, and that's because the multivitamin is actually passing through your body.
Right.
You know, and then other times it might be that you ate something with sulfur in it or something with compounds, let's say, some greens. Oftentimes when I've had greens, mustard greens, collard greens, when I've had asparagus, when I've had, like, what are the little cabbage things called? Brussels sprouts. Yeah, and those things oftentimes change the color and the smell of urine. So don't always think that the change or color of urine is a sign of difficulty. However, when the kidneys are not functioning properly, they allow protein to leak into the urine. And so if you have the presence of high levels of protein, let's say above 10 milligrams per 100 milliliters, then that could really indicate kidney disease. So if that high protein level is found, then you need to go and get a blood test. Go to get some urinalysis. It's the cheapest way, cheaper than a blood test. So go have the doctor do urinalysis. And when he's there, have him check for protein. Have him check for glucose and ketones, which might be an indicator for diabetes. Of course, the leukocyte, which is an enzyme that's produced by white blood cells that shows that you're battling an infection. And, of course, crystals in the urine are usually calcium oxalate, which can lead to, severe liver disease and reduce kidney function as well. So, and the last thing is that if you have a lot of RBCs, high level of RBCs, then it might indicate trauma to the urinary tract or the kidney tract. And RBCs are basically an acronym for a certain type of compounds that are identified by urinalysis. So definitely don't be afraid to go get your urine tested. It could reveal a lot about the kidneys. And so that might be your fastest way to figure that out and your cheapest way to figure that out.
Excellent. I do have a few more questions in the mailbag, but unfortunately we won't be able to get to those today. We will continue to do this next week. If you have a question or comment, please email me at sbrewer@php.com. That's sbrewer@phporder.com.
I also wanted to ask Shadonna to cover some of our standard announcements, because I know that we've been really busy in today's show, and particularly how people could listen to this show again or even ask questions to be posted on this show.
Absolutely. Well, you have the email address if you want to ask a question. Of course, if you're listening live, that means you dial 212-461-5800, code 8246. However, you can listen on a replay line 24/7 by dialing 212-990-6260. That's 212-990-6260. So there's the information. Share it with your friends and family. That is what we are here for. We want to get these messages out to as many people as possible. We also want to let you know that we are taking Oasis Retreat reservations at this time, and we also have the store edition of the Green Food Bible in. So if you would like to place an order for that, call 1-800-362-8482. That's toll-free, 1-800-362-8482. But more importantly, I have an even bigger announcement to make. Can I have a drum roll, please? Or maybe not. We are coming back to the New York area in February. We have our dates and we have our locations. We will be giving you more information on upcoming calls, but I do want to let you know that we will be there from February 8th through February 10th. We will be frequenting Long Island, Brooklyn, Manhattan, and New Jersey. And we will be giving you all this information. If you are anxious and you want to get that information now, you can call us at 1-800-362-8482. That's toll-free, 1-800-362-8482. We'll have all the admission prices, the locations, and a little sneak preview of what's going to go on during that time that we're there.
Absolutely. Now, Shadonna, I really want to put out a call. We've got space available, particularly in January and February at the Oasis Retreat. I think those are going to be our very, very best event simply because they're going to be the first ones and the first.
No, this is for the Oasis Retreat.
The Oasis Retreat, that's right. And we have events in January and February. We've got some space available. This makes an excellent gift to a friend or to yourself. The double occupancy rates, if you want to bring a friend, are very reasonable. And, in fact, when you book at the double occupancy rate and take advantage of our introductory price, do you realize that it is actually half the price of the single occupancy, which means if you and a friend got together and, you know, paid the full price of a single occupancy, you would get the double occupancy, and both of you would get to stay for one low price. So sort of a funny way to think about it, but it is a fantastic time that we have there. I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of you up there. It's time when we'll spend together learning, having fun, eating amazingly healthy food, asking and answering questions, having outings, drum circles, entertainment. It is a phenomenal time, and everybody who goes just thinks it is one of the best things they've ever done. Hopefully you will be among that group, and we'll hope to hear from you. Just give Shadonna a call at 800-362-8482 and tell her you're interested in an Oasis retreat and you'd like to take advantage of our introductory special and save a lot of money on what is a really good time.
Absolutely. Well, that's just about as much time as we have for today. Are there any last comments that you'd like to make, Dave?
Just that I noticed our audience is building every week, that this is a new format. It is not the same as being on the radio. However, better than the radio, you can listen anytime you want 24/7. And I know that many people are listening on the replay line because I get the calls. I want to appeal for questions. We're running out of questions. I think we got a couple left from this week. And I like to start the call with at least 10 or 12 questions. We don't always get through all of them. But if you have a subject matter you'd like us to cover in detail, if you have a question you'd like us to answer briefly, if you have a comment you would like Shadonna to make on the air, anything at all input is welcome and appreciated. And, of course, speaking of appreciation, I have a tremendous appreciation for all of you. Shadonna, I absolutely want to let you know how much I appreciate your hard work and your dedication over these last many, many years that we've been together. With the Christmas season upon us and with our next meeting not until after the Christmas holiday, I want to wish you all the very best. I hope that you will remain safe. I hope you will be with the people that you love, if not in body, then in mind. And remember, the spirit of this season is a spirit of giving. It's a spirit of sacrifice. And it is a spirit of fellowship. So please don't forget that as we're hustling and bustling about in the shops. If that person next to you happens to bump you a little bit hard, might seem a little bit rude, I want you to turn to them and smile and say, "Excuse me, I hope you're having a wonderful holiday season." Just make sure that you spread love, that you spread, you know, that joy that is inside of each of us at a time when so many people are feeling anxiety, so many people are feeling angst, so many people are lonely, because this season tends to bring out a little bit of melancholy in certain people. Why don't we be there for them? Why don't we smile? Why don't we invite them over for dinner? Why don't we make sure that nobody this holiday season has to feel alone?
Eloquently said. Okay, everyone, thank you so much for joining us. Happy holidays, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye, everybody.